T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hi, I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and today you'll learn more about the 2019 Missouri Teacher of the Year, Shelley Parks. She teaches with the Francis Howell School District at Francis Howell North, has been educating for the past 17 years. I wanted to know what the landscape of school looks like today compared to when she was growing up, as well as the path that she has followed to get to where she is today. Missouri Teacher of the Year, Shelley Parks, joins us on Profiles, KMOX.
Welcome to Profiles. From entertainers to athletes, political leaders to entrepreneurs, Profiles gives you an insight into what has made these unique personalities who and what they are today. Now, Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Where did you grow up?
I actually grew up in Troy, Missouri, and that's where I went to school all growing up in high school. And my mom was actually a teacher in Troy where I went to school, so that was always cool.
So was your mom ever your teacher?
She wasn't ever my teacher, but she taught most all of my friends and was like a total celebrity with my friends. And so that definitely was part of what piqued my interest for sure.
So what does that mean? Was your mom always keeping tabs with things you were doing in the school?
No, though it was handy to have someone down the hall when I forgot to have my permission slip for a field trip, you know, signed or something like that. But no, she really wasn't. And of course, I wasn't in trouble or anything like that in school, but she did know who my friends were. And that was nice. And she knew who my friends' parents were. It was just a smaller community where everybody knew everybody. But my friends always really loved having her as their teacher. Mm-hmm. So it was never embarrassing or anything like that. I just loved that my mom was a teacher.
Aw, and if you ever forgot your lunch, mom's right there to give you a couple
Precisely.
Extra bucks.
Precisely, yeah. Exactly.
Well, that works out pretty nice.
Uh-huh,
so
it was handy.
What happened after that? So when you decided that you were going to go to college, what was that decision like?
So it was a no-brainer for me that I knew that I wanted to teach, mm-hmm. but it was... I went in thinking I wanted to teach elementary. That's what my mom taught for a while, is elementary, sixth grade. And then she ended her career after 40 years, by the way. She just retired last year. She ended her career in middle school drama. Hmm. We always tease that doesn't even need a class. But anyway, she loved it. And then, so I thought I wanted to do elementary. And I did some like practice observing and things like that in elementary. But then, I really just wasn't, I don't know, I just didn't like love it like I thought I would. So I thought that there was something missing. Long story short, I ended up moving on an opportunity to go to Bucharest, Romania.
Oh, wow.
And I got to teach there for a summer. I got to teach English, and I fell in love with the teenagers. I got to teach kids from like young age to like 70 and 80 year olds who wanted to learn how to read, but it was the teenagers who I fell in love with. And so then I was like, yeah, that's where I need to be for sure.
Wow.
So anyway, yeah, switched to high school, and English was always my love. So
Romania. So you were there for a year teaching. And what was that whole experience? You talked about the side of it where you were teaching, and what was that like with the culture change and just going over there and living there for a year?
Yeah. And it wasn't a whole year, Ryan. It was a summer. So it was for like 2 to 3 months. It was incredible. And honestly, it was what really solidified teaching for me, because they had not been out of communism for too long. And so there was so much poverty, and these people were to be able to learn English. And so they would stand in the hot sun, and we were working in a non-air conditioned building. They would stand for hours just to read with me for 30 minutes.
Wow.
It was just really cool to think that I had something that these people wanted and needed, and I was able to give that knowledge to them that would help their lives. And it was just awesome.
Hmm. What kind of literature is popular in Romania?
Well, we taught using children's books because it had to be super simple. And then in some cases, because we were there too, to not missionaries, but we were there partially as missionaries. And so I also taught using the Bible, mostly kids' Bibles. So
the kids, there's some popular kids' Bibles out there. I know you have a little one, too. How old's your son? Because I saw the photos of the assembly when they surprised you with Teacher of the Year.
Yes, that was... I still don't even believe that's real, except there's videos out there about it.
But your son was there, too.
I have three.
Yeah.
So we have a 10-year-old daughter, Elise, and we have 5-year-old Bennett, and we have 3-year-old Deacon.
That's wonderful.
We're lucky.
Yeah. It's when you went and traveled, were any of the kids born at that time?
No, this was pre-marriage, pre-even me graduating college.
We're joined with Francis Howell North High School English teacher Shelley Parks, named the 2019 Missouri Teacher of the Year. So did that help, being able to be in college, have this experience? Were you able to come back and share your experiences with some maybe your other classmates and teachers so they can learn from that too?
Yep, it was really cool. And I still talk about Romania with my students and things like that. It was a very powerful experience. And it truly, besides for my mom, it was the thing that sealed for me that I just loved being able to share knowledge with other people. And so then I knew teaching was it for me.
Wonderful. And the Bible aspect of it, too, being able to do that as well, that must have been fulfilling for you to be able to do both.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, it felt, and honestly, teaching feels that same way too. It just felt like a bigger calling.
Yeah.
And I think that same thing about teaching. I think teaching is its own mission field. I mean, kids need us every single day in different ways. And though I'm in a public school, so it's certainly not like I'm preaching or, you know, trying to convert people, but I think it's really possible to love people and to show them compassion and care because of my faith.
Yeah. What grade do you teach now?
I teach kind of a combo. So I have in my classes sophomores, juniors, and seniors.
Okay. When you said your mom was part of middle school drama, you probably see a lot of drama in that age bracket too.
Yeah. No, I do not, don't teach any middle school, just high school.
Yeah. The drama and the things that kids are confronted with today, it's pretty amazing. It's probably the experience of what it was like for you to go through high school. It's probably a completely different world for the experience most of these kids going through high school are going through today.
You know, I don't know, but it is different. I mean, I was also, you know, our kids, the kids that I teach now are in we have such a big school district. I think over 17,000 kids. Well, I grew up in rural Troy, and so I knew everybody in my school. Mm-hmm. These guys, my own personal children, they're not even in the same class with the same kids from year to year. They might not know anybody in their class. So that's different. Of course, you know, I also was in school. I'm going to date myself here, but when I didn't have a cell phone or anything like that. So social media has, you know, amped up for sure for these kids, but so have the benefits of technology. There's so many awesome opportunities for kids to connect in different ways through technology. So it's a double-edged sword, I think.
What does a graduating class size look like at Francis Dowell in the school district, or at least the school you're in?
Yeah, Francis Howell North has a little under 1,700 kids. So you're looking at 400-ish kids per class.
Yeah, I think my graduating class, I went to a Catholic high school, was right around 120. And you always had the same people in every class, you know, for the most part.
Exactly. That's what my experience was, too.
When was the last time you actually looked at a modern high school? It's changed a lot since you were in school. I'm going to talk to Shelley Parks, the 2019 Missouri Teacher of the Year, about how she structures her classroom. Next on this Profile on KMOX.
More of Profiles coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Hi, I'm your host, Ryan Recker. We're joined with Shelley Parks, the 2019 Missouri High School Teacher of the Year, a profile on KMOX. I looked at the pictures. They took a lot of photos of you inside the classroom, and you talk about how things change with cell phones and social media. The first thing I noticed was, I don't see any chalk. Do teachers use chalk anymore?
I have a whiteboard, and so we definitely do. Everybody uses a whiteboard to post the daily objectives and the agendas and such, but we do a lot with Chromebooks. My class has a Chromebook cart, and so that's the deal with that. And then I also, in my classroom, I don't have desks. So I got rid of those a few years ago. I have tables, and so everything we do in my class is with a team. Mm-hmm. So the kids are sitting at a table with three other kids, and they do everything, for the most part, pretty cooperatively.
Is that a new tool that educators are using? You're seeing a change in the dynamics of how a classroom's set up and the technology that's used?
Yeah, cooperative learning. I mean, that's been around for a while, but that for me especially was a total game changer in how I taught. And it very much places emphasis on the students. It's way more student-directed learning. It's more engaging. It's less the teachers doing all the talking in the lecture and the kids are, you know, doing way more. It's just, it has been a game changer for my career. And lots of people are using it, though I would think probably not as immersed in it as some. You know, I'm fully immersed in cooperative learning, but some people just do it here and there, whatever works for them.
Let's go back to when you found out you were nominated for Teacher of the Year in Missouri, and there's a lot of teachers that are nominated for that. What happens? Does the principal come in and congratulate you, or do you get a letter in the mail, or what happened there?
Okay. It's an interesting process because I was my buildings Teacher of the Year 2017, mm-hmm. but then I became the school district's Teacher of the Year in 2018. From there, all the districts send in their district teacher of the year as their nominee. Mm-hmm. And then from those nominees, they picked 32 regional teachers of the year from all across the state of Missouri. When I was regional teacher of the year, they called me down the hallway and they had the commons, our cafeteria area, full of my family and students from classes. And so that was really cool. And then from the 32, then I found out I was in the top seven, mm-hmm. and the top seven, they also called me down to the commons and had a commons full of people and cheering and stuff. And that was really cool. And then the one that you saw, after the top seven, then the seven of us went to Jeff City and had an interview with a huge panel of just educators and businesses and community leaders from all over. And then from the seven of us from our interviews, then they picked the one. And the video, it sounds like you saw, was when I went into the gym and right. was surprised.
They have the cheerleaders and all the kids there for the assembly, and you have your family there and your kids hugging you. And it would look,
that was wild.
Were you truly surprised, or did you feel like something's going on? Something's up here.
You know what? I was truly surprised. I wasn't supposed to be at school that day. But then they told me that I was going to interview for the news for being one of the top seven. So that didn't sound weird to me because I'd done that before. Mm-hmm. And so I dressed up and then, you know, came in school. The only thing that got me a little bit was when we walked past my classroom to get down to the gym, there were no kids in my class.
Oh.
So I said to my principal, I was like, where are my students? Oh, maybe the sub just took them to the library. I was like, I don't know about that. But I still didn't think it was going to be that.
We're joined by 2019 Missouri Teacher of the Year, Shelley Parks, a English teacher at Francis Howell North High School. You're very observant. Do you normally notice little things like if a student, because that's a lot of things. There's some tells that students have. Are you pretty good at picking up on certain things?
Yeah, I think that's one of the tricks of the trade. You have to be really, really perceptive. So, because kids have, you know, I mean, they can try to fool you, but they also have these big emotions that they, you know, can sometimes hide, and if they have a lot going on. So yeah, I think being perceptive is really, really part of the gig.
At Francis Howell North, what does your regular day look like? What time do you get in? What do you do after school? What's your procedure?
Okay, so school starts at 7:20. I'm usually there by 6:45, and we teach 6 of 7 hours a day. So I go, you know, I get to teach English 2, I get to teach, so that's sophomores, I get to teach AP Lit, so for seniors, and then I get to teach Foundations of AP, a class that I got to create, which was really cool, for, it's just middle level kids who really want to take the challenge of an AP class, who need some support to be successful in that class, and so everybody in my AP Foundations class is taking their very first AP class. And we're all there supporting each other. And it's an awesome class. And then And then I have my 7th hour plan period. And then after that, I am typically busy with student council. I get to sponsor that. And this is my 16th year of sponsoring student council. And so, you know, lots of days after school, we're decorating for homecoming, or we're planning now Trick or Treat Street, a community event where kids trick or treat through our building, and just different things like that. And we actually have almost 300 members on student council this year. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's an awesome group. Love doing that too.
How's that possible to find 300 different positions?
Well, it's not that they're not all cabinet and officers. We have those, but we have homerooms in our school, mm-hmm. and every kid's in a homeroom, and every homeroom has mixed grade levels. So there's 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th graders in each homeroom, and there's like 90 homerooms. So we need a representative from each grade from each homeroom.
Oh, wow.
And so lots of kids get to be part of student council, and it's awesome.
Is Channel 1 still around?
No, but that was when I was in high school.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, maybe it is, but we don't do it. But I haven't heard of Channel 1 since 98.
So what do you guys do in homeroom?
Homeroom is really cool this year. It's a lot of the kids building community. And so they spend some time sharing thoughts and feelings. We have some just community building circles where they, you know, maybe one week we'll talk about motivation and everybody will kind of share their story. And it's really cool because we have juniors and seniors in there who are mentors helping lead out the freshmen and sophomores and sort of show them the way. It's like, gone are the days where freshmen, when they came into high school, got bullied and you were worried about getting pushed into lockers. Now we have like a strong mentor program where these kids who are older are taking younger kids under their wing and helping show them the way. And it's awesome.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is different from pretty much every movie in the 80s. If a high school student were to watch this high school movie from the 80s, they would not be able to recognize the structure, the hierarchy when it comes to high school anymore. So what makes for a good teacher?
I think they all, I mean, it's just different. So, you know, I feel like you could line up 5 different teachers and they're good for different reasons. But I think for sure, just loving kids is the most important part of the deal. I always say, I think you can teach content to pretty much anybody, you know, but I think really loving and caring about kids, you can't teach that. So I feel like that's super, super important. And then, you know, for me, the things that kids have always said is, you know, you really push us and you hold us to high standards, but we know you're going to help us with that. And so that's what I want to hear. I want them to be pushed and challenged, but I also want them to know that I'm going to support them and help and be alongside of them.
How does the 2019 Missouri Teacher of the Year build relationships with her students? When we continue our profile of Francis Howell North High School English teacher Shelley Parks, next on KMOX.
More of Profiles coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Welcome back to Profiles. Hi, I'm your host, Ryan Renker, and we're joined with Shelley Park. She's the 2019 Missouri Teacher of the Year. She teaches at Francis Howell North High School. Shelley, what kind of things do you do to support your students in their lives? I know you're active in student council. Every kid, it seems like, at some point in their life, may be going through something, and they go to a teacher, and because it's someone that they know, someone that they have a relationship with and trust. So when you start building these relationships with kids, what are some of those moments you've been able to recognize that you've really made an impact in their life?
Well, kids are really, really kind of neat about telling you. I feel like they're pretty transparent. And so there's lots of times where kids will, you'll have a conversation, you'll be like, well, I think that was meaningful. And then you'll get a letter on your desk that a kid tells that. But like, I'm just thinking of an example even that's going to happen tomorrow. We had a kiddo at our school whose house burned down this week. They lost everything. And so she came in and she was upset. And so that's something that you need to hear and that you need to share. And my class totally rallied around, and they're ready to hand gift cards to her tomorrow and just really support her. And so I just think things like that, I think you have to know sometimes that there are things going on outside of your classroom that are really going to impact what happens in your classroom. And sometimes you have to break a little from moments in the curriculum to give other moments that are pretty teachable too.
Yeah. Anyone give you an apple? Is that still a thing for teachers?
There's a principal at my school, Dr. Birch, who does give apples still. We always tease him about it. Now he just does it all the time. But yeah, no apples from kids.
So what?
Candy sometimes are homemade treats that they make in facts.
I don't think I've ever actually handed an apple to a teacher, but whenever like Christmas came around, it was always something apple themed because that you go to the store.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like everything's apple themed if you're going to buy a gift for a teacher.
Right.
Starbucks gift cards are a good idea.
Starbucks gift cards are never a bad idea for a teacher.
What do you want everyone to know about being a teacher in 2018?
I really, really want to share the joy of our profession. I feel like our profession has just taken an absolute hit in the media. And honestly, for some reasons that we need to be vocal about. I mean, the Oklahoma strike where, you know, the classrooms, kids don't have good desks to sit in. That's a problem. That's underfunding. And you need to share that. But then I think, you know, we've seen school violence, and that's also a problem that clearly needs to be shared. But then the problem is, I read just a few weeks ago in Education Week that I read, they took a poll of 1,500 parents, and out of those 1,500 parents, over half of them said they would never want their kid to be a teacher.
Wow.
And I think that is a huge problem. And we also have, I also read recently that there's in the past 10 years, there's 23% less college students going into teacher ed programs. Hmm. So the problem is that people think our profession is not desirable, that teachers aren't valued and appreciated. And then, of course, everybody knows that it's not that, teachers aren't rich. Okay, that's no secret. And so it's just a bummer because there are so many wonderful things about our profession and so much meaning. And so many awesome relationships that you make that last well beyond the classroom. And I want people to know the good parts of our profession, too.
Wow. So media really has played a role in maybe giving the wrong impression of what a modern teacher looks like.
Well, and I don't even know if it's the wrong impression. I think it depends on where you are. I mean, I look at the Time articles that are out recently. That's true. Teachers are working two jobs. They're donating plasma to make enough money that's all true. And that's a part of the reality that we need to share. And the media does need to share that because then I think then people learn and then hopefully there's decisions made that actually help impact teachers better. So they're not doing that.
Yeah.
But I do think if all people are hearing are the stories of teachers who struggle financially and the school safety things we have going and some other things, then people are not attracted to our profession at all. And we, of course, I think anybody would say, yeah, no, you have to have good teachers.
Yeah. Shelley Parks has worked as an English teacher at Francis Howell North since 2002 and just this year named the Missouri Teacher of the Year. I want to talk about when you were growing up through school, and we talked about this just a little bit briefly, but what the difference in the experience of when you were going through school and the experience that a kid goes through today in a modern school system, it seems like there's a lot more specialized things to do. I remember going through high school, there wasn't nearly as many cool things available to me that I see some of these students in the high schools today have in front of them. They just have to take advantage of some of these programs that are available to them. And it seems like St. Louis has a lot of different programs available for students too.
Yeah, we're really lucky. I mean, a kid can take a class at my school, biomedical interventions, and they actually have like a murder case that they solve throughout the whole semester. Wow. And so they have like a body and they have different genetic things. I mean, it's amazing and it's so high interest and the kids love it. There's so many engineering opportunities with the PLTW classes. There are all sorts of technology classes for kids to take. And that's what I think is really cool about high school. You can try all of these things out, find what you're passionate about, and then pursue that for a degree in college, you know?
What do you mean they have a body?
So not a real body, but they have like it's called Anna Garcia. And so it's this dummy, but they have like a fake crime scene and they have different like pieces of evidence planted. class is designed to figure out who killed this Anna Garcia lady.
Oh, wow.
And so the kids are really like these forensic detectives, and they're doing all sorts of cool science stuff, but they're finding out, you know, it's just high interest. It's awesome.
Yeah. What are some of the things you like about the district you're in at Francis Howell School District?
Well, I feel like we are super fortunate to have just visionary leaders, to be honest. I was at a board meeting tonight, and just the fact that they're seeing the needs of the district and looking forward is really cool. We also have really thoughtful and caring leaders. And so, like, and they're good for students. For instance, they decided, like, for this role that I'm going to be in, I'm going to be out of the classroom in 2019 for probably 70 plus days. Mm. Well, they're really excited for me, but they also said, we don't know that that's best for kids, that you that would constantly have a substitute. Mm-hmm. So they decided to go ahead and hire somebody to take my spot for 2019 so that the kids have somebody in their classroom every day.
Oh, how about
that's
that?
That's so good for kids. And it's a financial decision that they had to invest in, but it's way better for kids. So I like that. I think everybody's about kids. We have good resources in our district. With technology, we also have people who really value curriculum. And so we're constantly revising and making better and keeping up to date. Our district is amazing with providing us with professional development. And so if we want to go to a professional development and we have, you know, a good case for it, the chances are we'll be able to. They bring in good professional development. It's a really good district to be a part of.
Sounds like you read up on a lot of studies that go on in education. So what are some of the things you would like to see in education, some of the changes you'd like to see in the way it's moving today to better the experience for the kids?
Well, I told you this. I want to attract good teachers to the profession. Because I think that's good for kids if they have good teachers. I also want to retain the teachers we do have. That's really important to me. I think teaching has become a really difficult day-to-day job. There's a lot that's changed even in the 17 years that I've been doing it. The technology has changed. The data-driven instruction has changed. There's been some big changes that have made for just added stress and added pressure.
Yeah.
And so I want to keep the teachers that we do have and make them feel valued and appreciated. With kids, I mean, I think that kids have lots of good opportunities, but the one thing that I was feeling like we didn't have in place that we're starting to put more in place was support for the middle level kid who sometimes just gets lost in the classroom. We've had good supports for the struggling kids, and we have good supports for the most part for the high level kids, but we really did kind of let our middle kids just sort of slide by and get lost for a while. And I feel like we're starting to put more emphasis on that, which I'm really happy about.
Well, how would you define a middle level kid?
I think the middle level kid is just a kid who does the right thing in your class, is coming in, getting an A or B, and you just don't notice them. It's not the kid who stands out as like this super genius, but it's not anybody who's low. They're just a regular kid. But where we need those kids to be a lot of times is pushing themselves a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. And that's where I came up with that Foundations of AP class, which I didn't, there's lots of supports around. We got that model from other districts that we saw doing similar things, but they, you know, we want those kids to be taking what we call a stretch course, mm-hmm. challenging themselves, pushing themselves in something that they're passionate about.
You know, you said that your mother was a teacher. Is she still around?
She is, yes.
Does she substitute at all?
Does she substitute? She certainly does. Yes, this was her first year of retirement, though I think most every single day she's been back in the classroom subbing.
What did your mom say about you being named the Missouri Teacher of the Year?
She was really sweet and she was really proud. And we're so thankful for her because the schedule has gotten super, super crazy. And she is grandmama to babysit all the time, our three littles. So she's just been really proud, but she's also been really practically super helpful. So we're really thankful.
Are you a little curious what kind of perks comes with the Missouri Teacher of the Year Award? We'll find out next with Shelley Parks, our guest today on Profiles, an English teacher at Francis Howell North High School. We'll continue for one last time next on KMOX.
More of Profiles coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Welcome back one last time to our profile of Francis Howell North High School English teacher Shelley Parks, named the 2019 Missouri Teacher of the Year. If you missed any of this interview or you would like to go back and listen to some of our other profiles, just go to KMOX.com and go to the podcast section. Do you eat the cafeteria food at school?
Some days, if I struggle, my husband makes, he does, he's in charge of lunches at our house.
Oh.
So he makes all the lunches. But some days, if I'm over the turkey sandwich, I will grab tater tots from the cafeteria.
Is that your go-to food? Go get some tater tots?
No, usually a chicken wrap, to be honest with you.
Oh.
Cafeteria food's gotten better, too.
I think when I was in high school, we didn't have a cafeteria. So I went to a Catholic school.
Oh, okay.
They didn't offer food. You always had to bring yours in. And then twice a week, they had pizza brought in. You buy it by the slice. And that was it.
No kidding.
So I never had the experience of high school cafeteria food. I missed out on all
of
that.
Man, I was going to say, you didn't even have anything to complain about.
Yeah, I had to complain about the lunch I made for myself. You know, that's
right.
All I can complain about.
Now, Pizza Day, Papa John's Day, is still awfully popular among high school. So.
How much is it a slice?
I think it's $1 a slice.
Yeah, I think that's universal from the last three decades.
Yep.
Do you have to pay attention to the things the kids are doing? Like, do you have to know about Fortnite? And do you have to know about YouTube and the Paul brothers? And you have to keep up on all of that?
You do. I mean, I think it's really important to stay current. You got to know it because it's happening, it's part of their lives, and it's a connection piece with them. So, yeah, I was teaching the word forthright the other day as a vocabulary word, and of course we all were like, yep, Fortnite. So, I mean, it's a big part of what they are, and you got to relate to them. You got to get them on their level.
Yeah, so that's another universal. You have to find a way to connect, and a lot of times something as popular as a video game that everyone's playing, and I guess maybe 5 or 10 years ago, it would have been Minecraft or something. But there's these different waves that go around. How many years have you been teaching now?
This is my 17th.
Yeah, so you've seen probably different waves of things that were popular come in and out of the classrooms.
Oh, for sure. And I started teaching when I was 21.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just always something. But, I think as high school teachers, it's important to stay current for sure.
When you try to stay current, are you purposely looking for a different angle to reapproach different topics for every different generation that's in the classroom?
Oh, sometimes, but I don't necessarily feel like I use those as lessons necessarily, but I will use those as conversation starters with kids. Because most importantly for me is to build rapport with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if you build rapport with kids, then they pretty much will do anything you ask and they'll work really hard for you. And so, you know, I'll talk to a kid about Fortnite or I'll talk to a kid about whatever, and there's books that are popular. Of course, Harry Potter was forever and ever.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not necessarily always weaving those into my lessons per se. Just having conversations with kids.
Do you go to all the games after school? Friday night, is it football night for you guys? And are you always trying to be visible inside the school community?
I try to be visible when my kids ask me. Now it's harder because it's harder now than it was earlier in my career because I have three of my own who are active in sports and other extracurricular activities. So, but it's been really cool because my high school students help coach in some ways my own kids. And so I know my daughter is really anxious to get to a volleyball game because two of the girls in my class coach her in volleyball.
Mm.
And so just things like that is just a really awesome cycle. And I used to coach. I coached girls basketball for 7 years before I had my own kids. And so that's always been a big part of our life. But yeah, it's harder. I'm not at everything for sure.
Yeah.
But I try to go to lots.
She's the 2019 Missouri Teacher of the Year. Shelley Parks joins us on this KMOX profile. Were you always in the high school level, even starting at 21 when you were starting to teach?
I was, and my first class, I was 21 and I taught a 21-year-old. It was his last chance to graduate.
Wow.
That was wild. He did not know I was 21. We kept that secret, but yes, that was something.
So what happens after the years pass by? Do you have former students reach out to you? Because after 17 years of teaching, you've seen a lot of different graduations.
I have, and I've gotten to go to weddings and baby showers, and I have one kiddo. I mean, I have lots of kiddos, but I have one kid in particular, Emily, who's not a kid anymore. She's been teaching in her own English classroom for 7 years now, but she and I meet every Saturday morning, most Saturday mornings at 6 a.m, and we walk and talk about teaching, and it's just a great friendship now, and she went into the classroom, and so yeah, that's really awesome. And yes, that's true of lots of former students, just still keeping part of their lives.
That's awesome.
And so, social media is really helpful with that too, of course.
Oh, so you get a lot of friend requests from former students?
I do. Yes. It's funny. I think, I don't know, but like 1,200 friends or something like that. And I would venture to say half of those are former students.
Aww.
Which is cool.
Do you like getting those notes? Does that mean a lot to you?
Oh, for sure. I have now a few just big binders of notes and emails and messages kids send. And any kid who gives me anything, that is 100% saved, because those are so... those are so invaluable to me. And there are so many times where, you know, if you have a discouraging day or whatever, opening up one of those binders and reading some of that gets you right back to the heart of why you started to begin with.
Yeah. Normally the fridge at home is reserved for the kids' artwork, but have you ever put a student's paper or anything that you really enjoyed on there?
I have notes from students on, like, you know, and I also have wedding announcements from students and save the dates and things like that. Yeah. Students are a part of our fridge too. The only thing, you know, that I didn't say is a shout out to all the awesome people I work with. Like, I feel like they are so much a part of what I'm thankful for. And I never just want the attention to be all on me, because I'm telling you, I work with amazing teachers. And when everybody's like, oh, you're the best teacher in Missouri, I don't feel that way. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have a lot of good qualities, and this was an awesome honor, but I teach with people who are absolutely incredible, too.
Well, that's wonderful. So, but yeah. you could say all of those things, but you'll take the special parking space. Hopefully you get one for being the Missouri Teacher of the Year.
I do get a special parking space. It's true. I guess I could say this, too. There's a lot of cool things that go along with this. So, like, in February, I get to go to Google in San Francisco, Google headquarters, for a week and be trained. And then I know in April or May, I get to go to the White House and meet the president.
Whoa.
I think I'm going on the field at a Kansas City Chiefs game in December.
Whoa.
I do a lot of traveling. And so there's some really cool opportunities with this.
That's awesome.
It's cool. And so far, it's just been public speaking, like giving speeches here and there and things like that. But yeah, there's some really, really exciting opportunities coming up.
Yeah,
so
you're going to be able to compare the tater tots at Google with your own school and see which one's better.
Oh, I hope I'm not disappointed.
Well, Shelley Parks, congratulations to you on the great honor, well-deserved, and thank you for being an active part of the St. Louis community, making it better. Thank you so much for joining us here on KMOX.
Thank you so much, Ryan. I appreciate the opportunity.
You've been listening to Profiles. If you missed any of this episode or to hear other profiles, go to KMOX.com.
Don't make a decision.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.